All right. All right. Take your Bibles. Let's go to Mark chapter 4, if you will. We're going our way through Mark, and we come to a passage of Scripture I entitled Family Secrets, and you'll know why I gave it that title at the end of the message today. We're going to look at verses 3 through 9, and we're also going to look at verses 14 through 20 as I go. But this morning, I want you to stand in honor of God's Word. We're just going to read verses 3 through 9 as we talk about family secrets, a parable you're all familiar with. If y'all go ahead and stand, if you will, and beginning in verse 3 through 9. But before I read that, I want to read to you verse 23. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. I want you to listen today to the Word of God, because this passage, this parable, will straighten out a lot of things in our lives that we have questions about, okay? So if you have ears, let him hear. Let's begin in verse 3 with the parable of the four souls. Some people say sower, but I think the emphasis is on the heart. Four hearts. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Now he's just going out, casting out seed randomly, okay? He's not like many churches today who target a certain segment of society to go after. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root. It withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. The other fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. The Bible says 100-fold in one of the other commentators. He that has an ear, let him hear. Father, I pray today that as we open this text, you open our hearts. What great truths we see in this parable of the souls, this parable of the sower that went out to sow, this parable of how people received the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many different reactions, Father. So teach us from your word today, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever wondered why some are with us today, but they have departed from us? And they're not in a church anywhere today. They profess, but they don't continue. Why are they not here and not in any church whatsoever? They just kind of just turn their back on the things of God. We all know people like that. We could rattle their names off this morning. And even people that are very irregular in the things of God. All these questions can be explained in our parable today. Well, if you know the background from last week in Mark chapter 3, Jesus was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, but not everybody believed. Not everybody believed. Not everybody was submitted to him as Lord and Savior. In fact, more rejected the gospel than believed the gospel. Okay? And as Jesus went about proclaiming the gospel, he ran across those that, because of the hardness of their hearts, Jesus taught them in parables, verses 10 through 12. Why was that? Because those that have hardened their hearts, he talked around them, and he talked to those that would understand and receive the kingdom in their hearts. They could not understand because they had hardened their hearts in verses 10 through 12. Before I get into the four kind of souls or four kind of hearts this morning, I want to share with you three observations that I see up front from this text. And I'm going to share with you four at the end that I wrote down I wrote when I got in the parking lot this morning in my Bible, okay? I don't want to drive, text and drive, you know. Brother Vance, when we were coming back and going to Mayo and coming back, your wife was my texter. I said, Michelle, text so-and-so, and she would, and I appreciate that. Three observations. The parable of the four souls illustrates the problem that Jesus faced and the reactions that people had to the gospel. This is what this is about. Number two, this parable also teaches that people don't lose their salvation, they never possess salvation. This is important. Okay? And then number three, it also teaches if someone seems to have lost their salvation, they were just one of the first three souls in this parable. Okay? Now, let's look at the text. First of all, in verse 4 and verse 15, we see the wayside heart. We'll call it the hard heart. Look in verse 4 again. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Look in verse 15. And these are they, by the way, verses 3 through 9 is the soul stated, if you will. And then in verse 14 through 20 is the souls explained. Look in verse 15. These are they that went by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they had heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. These have the seed of the gospel taken away from the birds of the air, from Satan himself. That's a symbol here of, in many cases, of Satan and what he does here, because they don't understand it. Matthew's account of the parable says, lost people are blinded by Satan. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the God of this world has blinded them, but also the hardness of their own hearts. It's a twofold blindness. They're blinded by Satan and they're blinded by their own heart. The lost person's problem is not with his intellect. I know some very smart people that are lost. The problem is with their heart, right? And that's what he's saying here. To have hard hearts that are manipulated by Satan to resist the truth. Now, some harden their hearts today because of they love darkness rather than light. John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. They just love darkness. They love their sin more than they do the Savior. And so they're blinded. Some because they love the praise of men rather than the praise of God. In John chapter 12, verse 42 through 43. And these are the kind that Satan appeals to. These are the kind that Satan gets wrapped up in the religions of the world, the doctrines of demon. If anything is not Christian, it's a doctrine of demon. Okay? It's doctrines of demon. Now, what are some of those? Well, they get wrapped up in humanism, secular humanism. Secularism by itself, they get wrapped up in materialism. By the way, there's a lot of people in the church too got wrapped up in materialism. And then there's atheism, there's evolution, the cults. All those kind of things are doctrines of demons that deceive people. And Christianity is not religion. Christianity is Christianity. It's Christ. Amen? We don't work our way to God. God has come to us. And now we work because he came toward us. They have no interest in the things of God. They may vary in hostile. They're hostile. They're antagonistic to the gospel. You see it all over. There are people on the news today that are blasting Trump because the little speech he gave in the interim with the Chinese dictator. He talked about what he was going to do in bombing the airbase, and he uses the word God. God's children. Boy, they're just raking him over the coals for that. Because we live in a world that is antagonistic to the gospel and to the things of God. So some seed lands by the what we call the hard heart or the wayside. It's beaten down. It's by the wayside. It's a beaten path. They walked over it so much, it's so hard, the gospel doesn't make any headway in their life because they reject the truth. Okay? And then there's the stony, shallow heart. This man went out to sow. He didn't say, oh, man, there's a thorny heart. I believe I'm going to throw some over there. Or there's a hard heart. I'm going to throw some over there. There's a good heart. I'm going to throw some over there. There's a teenager. We need teenagers in our church. Or there's a doctor with money. We need people in our money we need people in our church that have money. So I'm going to cast my seed over there. No, he didn't do that. That's wrong, church, to target people for the gospel. We go out and share as we go. We share the gospel as we go. Whoever God puts in our path here. But then notice this in verse 5 and 6. This fell on stony ground, a stony heart, a shallow heart. Notice verse 4 and 5, then we'll go to 16 and 17. He says here, it came to pass, he sowed some, verses 5 and 6, yeah. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root. It withered away. Now, what does all that mean? Jesus told us in verse 16 and 17. These are they likewise that are sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word of God, immediately receive it with great gladness. There's great joy, great emotionalism, okay? And they had no root in themselves, so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when afflictions and tribulation and persecutions arise, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And either they wither away. What about this heart? What about this stony, shallow heart here? They hear the word of God. Oh, they're making an emotional response. They come down, big crocodile tears. Pastor, I want to be saved. But you don't even see them back on Sunday night. They have no root. They have no root. And if there's no root, there's no fruit. And they have no root. They can't endure tribulation when it comes in their life, or persecution, or temptation because of the word. These are the people that we hear often in our church say, well, if God loved me, he wouldn't allow this to happen in my family. What kind of, I came to God and I thought everything was going to be hunky-dory. These are the people that say, why did God take my little child? I can't worship and serve a God like that. And so there's no root, see, shallow ground. There's nothing to take hold of, see. And so when persecution and tribulation and temptation come their way, I call them flashes in the pan. Boy, pastor, 26, 27 years, boy, I've seen them. They've come through and they come out. Almost like they come through and go right out the back door. Flashes in the pan, but it's just a mere profession of faith. And that's why they fall away. They didn't lose it. They were stony ground. They were a heart that was shallow, right? Made a mere profession of faith. They yielded no fruit because they had no root, and they withered away. Well, I could count them, Faye and I could count them on our hand. We could count them, sit down and write them all through my ministry. They come in the front door and go out the back door because they're stony ground. And then the sower went out to sow. And some fell on thorny ground, or crowded heart, we'll call that. Verse 7, notice that. Some fell among the thorns. And the thorns grew up and it choked it and it yielded no fruit. Remember the premise from John 15, no fruit, no root, right? John 15 says, if you're a Christian, you abide in Christ, you're going to have fruit, more fruit, and much fruit, okay? Now go with me to verse 18 and 19. Jesus explains this, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word of God, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Some falls on thorny ground, our crowded heart. So one thing about weeds, and we're good at, Faye and I are good at growing weeds. You know, we plant our garden, there's no bees to pollinate it, you know. But one thing we don't have to worry about, the weeds will come up. And they will crowd out the lives of people where it becomes unfruitful. And there's no fruit. Remember, no fruit, no root, right? And so these that hear the word of God, choked out by the cares of this world, they yield no fruit. The Bible tells us there it's choked out by the cares of the world. What does that mean? That's not talking about your problems. That's talking about you loving the world more than you love God, by the cares of the world. And he says there in verse 18 and 19, by the deceitfulness of riches. That's why Jesus said it's so hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's not a sin to be rich. But there's so many more temptations would come with being rich. And the desires of other things, the pleasures of life. They love the pleasures of life. Y'all know by now that the God of pleasure is one of the main gods in America, right? It's one of the main gods in America. So it fell on thorny ground. It's a crowded heart. These people may attend church for a while. They may be involved. They may appear to be a Christian. But they bear no fruit. You remember? No fruit. They're not a Christian. And they say, preacher, that won't preach in a Methodist church. That won't preach in a Presbyterian church. Well, I'm not in those. I'm in a Baptist church, okay? And this is where it should preach. No root, no fruit, no fruit, no root. They love the world and the things of the world and not God and his kingdom. These persons want to talk. An amazing thing about these people, they want to walk on the broad way and the narrow way at the same time. And Jesus said, you can't do that. No man can love the world and mammon at the same time, or love God at the same time. The broad way is the road that most of the world is on. All their baggage, all their religiosity, all their things that they think is going to get them to heaven. And ultimately, every man and woman will stand before God, but only the saved are going to be able to enter into kingdom, right? But they're going to see God, but they're going to be cast into hell because of it. They look like Christians, and, you know, you can almost bank on it. Said, I'm certain this guy was a Christian. But the end result is a changed life and their transformation, right? And their spiritual fruit. They love everything else inside the kingdom. And they're trying to walk down the broad way and the narrow way and get to the same destination. And it can't be done. They're a thorny ground, a crowded heart. And I got more to say about that in a minute. But the sower went out to sow in verse 8, and some fell on good ground, a fertile, fruitful heart. Look in verse 8, if you will. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit and sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Now notice verse 20. And these are they which are sown on the good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. In other words, there are different levels of fruit bearing, but if you're a Christian, there's going to be some fruit, okay? And that's what he's saying here about the good heart, the fruitful heart. They hear the word of God, they receive the word of God, they embrace the gospel, and they give evidence of that by bearing fruit. What is fruit? Fruit is works for Christ. Fruit is evidence. Fruit is what comes out of our life as being a Christian. Fruit is Christ living his life through us, right? That's what fruit is. Luke says they hear the word with a noble and a good heart and bear fruit with patience. These are the hearts that are prepared by the Holy Spirit in order to embrace the gospel and bear fruit. You see, I don't turn the heart, and you don't turn the heart. We cannot make the lost believe, can we? That is his business. But sometimes it falls, the gospel falls on good ground that's been prepared, right? And they embrace the gospel, the Bible says. Fruit in a changed life is evidence of salvation. And I'll preach that to the day I die or the day I'm raptured. The evidence of being a Christian is spiritual fruit and a changed life, a transformed life. Not all true believers are equally as productive, right? That's what the text tells us. But every genuine Christian will have fruit. If you're here today and you're banking on walking an aisle back in 1930, folks, if that's all the assurance you got, you may not make it. Has your life changed, right? And fruit could be anything. It could be sending out a card, a phone call. There was a lot of fruit, maybe literally and figuratively, poured out in the Smith and the Thornton life this past week, right? That was fruit. Don't ask me to go to Mayo again, man. That's a lot of traffic down there that this pave old boy ain't used to. And then they had construction going on, and I was praying my GPS would recognize all that and take me where I needed to go. But we eventually got there, though when we got there, we had to walk 8 miles to get where we was going, right? Some say the second, now I got to be honest with you, some people say that are not like me and other preachers say that the second and the third heart were saved hearts, but they were just immature. But I say again, a fruitless professing Christian is not a Christian at all. Because in all of these hearts, first three hearts, there was nothing. Second and third, there was no fruit. One was shallow, and it was crowded out by the world because they loved the world more. All the first three hearts were lost people. The last heart was the only one that was saved. Let me close with some thoughts here. Warren Wiersbe says that each of these three fruitless hearts is influenced by a different enemy. Now, I didn't realize this until I read what he wrote. These first three hearts. The hard heart, one by the wayside, the devil himself snatches the seed. He says the shallow heart, which was the second heart, the flesh, counterfeits religious feelings. You know, there's a lot of people in our churches today that are counterfeiting Christianity. Boy, I'm telling you, I feel sorry for people that are in these prosperity gospel churches that they are told this or told that or give money and do this and, you know, getting a word from the Lord. God told me to tell you that he's going to heal you. And then when he doesn't, boy, that just wrecks their whole life. Counterfeit feelings. And then the crowded heart there, the thorny heart, he says, the things of the world smother the growth and prevent a harvest. And if there's no fruit, there's no root. These are the three great enemies of the Christian, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Do you see how they play out in this parable? And this is what they do. And I've entitled this sermon, Family Secrets, because we know something the world doesn't know. We know what Jesus said, that only good, receptive, fertile hearts receive the kingdom of God and the mystery of the kingdom of God. Look again in verse 10, if you will, of chapter 4. And when he was alone, they were all about him, and the 12 asked of him this parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. What? The fertile hearts. But unto them that are without, all these are done in parables. Seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may not hear and not understand, lest any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. See, this is a family secret today. Only we know what this parable was talking about. Those people outside of Christ and outside the church have no idea. This is a family secret. I told you we were going to share a family secret. I bet some of you thought I was going to get up here and gossip, didn't you? But this is a family secret. Only we, the redeemed, know this. Because he says it's up to you, for you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. A mystery in the New Testament is a truth unknown that only can be revealed through special revelation. Guess what that was? When God saved me, and he placed in me the Holy Spirit of God, and he placed me in the body of Christ, he gifted me later to be developed certain gifts, and he saved me, and I got a home from heaven, then I can know the mystery of the kingdom of God. See? It made no sense before that. I like what one writer says, the mystery of the kingdom of God is threefold. Number one, the Lord Jesus Christ was rejected when he offered himself king of Israel, and you had a period of time that would intervene before the kingdom would be literally set up. Right now, we're about 2,000 years. He offered the kingdom to Israel. They rejected him. Now the church is coming in, but there is a literal kingdom coming to the nation of Israel one day. And then during the interim, the writer goes on to say, these 2,000 years during the church age, it would exist in spiritual form. Right now, the kingdom is in spiritual form. Everybody that is a believer and acknowledge Christ as Lord and as King, we are in his kingdom. We have the kingdom of God in our hearts, okay? Even though the king is absent. This is the spiritual realm of his kingdom right now. He is Lord over his church. But then there's coming a day, the writer goes on to say, the word of God will be sown during the interim period with varying degrees of success. The parable tells us that. Christ said, I will build my church. It's not going to be as big as we think it is. Right? And we know this, that Christ will build his church through real confessions of faith. Right? So I want to ask you a question as we close this morning. And all heads bowed, all eyes closed as our musicians come. Which is your heart? The Holy Spirit has put his finger on your heart today. Which is your heart? Is it a hard heart? A shallow heart? No depth? You're not going to endure because there's no depth of root. What about the crowded heart? Do you love the things of the world more than you do the things of God and his kingdom? Or are you good and fertile and fruitful ground? Are you increasing in spiritual fruit? Are you increasing in holiness and the love for the things of God? Do you love to come to church? Do you love your Bible? Do you love to pray? Do you love the saints? Do the things of the world just repulse you? Which heart do you have today? Which is your heart? Father, I pray today we'll be honest. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to these churches. And I pray, Father, today that you will teach us from your word. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.